Hey everybody, and welcome to your Friday, August 29th Jumpcast, the only manga podcast recorded entirely in tan suits. Joining me this week are Robin Van Gilder and Jack Thompson.
Hello.
Oh no!
Greg is currently throwing people into Icelandic volcanoes, and Mike was summoned there on an entirely non-suspicious invitation.
Did Greg become a second character?
It was just a coincidence,
yes.
I think.
That was the very first thought I had when Pokken was announced, that there needs to be a scene of Magmar dropping Charmeleon into a volcano and Charizard flying out like devil.
Yes.
Don't want to go too fast. You need to save that for like, there was a higher devil form, wasn't there?
Maybe? Like, I think it's just like devil. Ogre
Tekken,
devil?
There was devil
Tekken mythology got so crazy. I mean, there was the ogre, and there was the devils, and
at some point, I wanted to make a video of, like, explaining the Tekken story like I did the Metal Gear Solid video, but then I realized the way funnier thing to do would be to play Velvet Sundown and just tell people the Tekken story in that. So I need to get around to that at some point.
Yeah. That'd be great.
So we very, very closely, or came close to almost no manga this week, which worried me because I didn't know what we were going to talk about, but thankfully we did get scans today. So Jump is clamping down on early scans.
Yeah, because we actually get scans like a week before the magazine is released in Japan.
Yeah.
Because people get a hold of the early copies of the magazine because they have to send it all over Japan and to be released on the same day. It's just like with video games, the leak sometimes.
And for us who have like no legal option to buy Jump, that's how we get like our early scans and we can talk about them. I guess for the people in Japan, it's not great for Jump there.
Yeah.
Because if people are releasing early scans, no one will buy the magazine. So I can see where they want to stomp it out, but at the same time, I don't know, it would take us like a good 2 weeks and maybe we'd have to change the recording date if they actually did stamp it out.
Well, no, I mean, really, the only effect would be like there would be a week where we didn't have releases and then it would be back to normal, basically.
Yeah, but then like people wouldn't want to hear about nearly a week old manga.
Yeah, that's true. We'd probably have to move it to like Saturday or something.
Yeah. But thankfully, that's not happening this week.
Yeah, they came out this morning, and so we're all good to go.
Plus a few, like, last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I've never done house cleaning before, so I'm looking at the live journal that Greg and Mike get this from. And apparently, according to them, Kuroko's Basket is ending next week. So I've never in my life read Kuroko's Basket.
Me neither.
However, it is apparently incredibly popular. Like, one of Jump's most popular manga.
Yeah, it's super popular.
So
pretty popular here, too.
Is it?
Yeah. They always have big displays of it at the bookstores and stuff, so I assume.
Huh.
Am I just, like, legitimately popular, like, sells a lot, or just they're trying to push it like they did with Prince of Tennis?
I don't know. Seems like it's been going on for a long time, so it must be at least somewhat legitimately popular. But
see, Prince of Tennis was legitimately popular, but not among shonen readers. It was popular among housewives and teen girls.
Yeah.
Because
I remember watching the anime for a while.
It is gay sex couched as a tennis metaphor. It is basically yaoi manga.
Yeah, basically.
So maybe Kuroko's Basket is the same thing. Who knows?
It's impossible for us to say.
Yeah. How could we ever find out?
I don't know. I mean, it's not like we had a guest on recently that talked about reading it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Nah.
Nah, I don't think so.
All right. So on to Bleach.
All right.
Bleach.
Where I want to commend us for thinking of an explanation for Kurotsuchi's drug thing that did not at all come up. They didn't even explain it at all.
No, they just moved right on.
Because he ended last chapter saying, "Now, when did I give you that drug?"
And it's just like, I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah. That's not important.
Who cares?
Let's talk about something else.
Yeah. So basically, he takes Hitsugaya and he stabs some drugs into him with like a syringe that is also a knuckle duster, apparently.
I don't know. It looks like he's wearing the syringe on a ring.
Yeah, but it's like a giant regular hospital syringe just on his fist for some reason.
I mean, that sounds like Kurotsuchi.
I mean, yeah, that's something he would make. So.
I mean, I'm guessing it's for the visual to show him, like, punching the shot in, but he doesn't, like, show the visual.
Well, no, see, you can see it. He doesn't even punch it in, he just puts it in his neck.
Yeah.
You can see in that one panel, and then Hitsugaya is getting covered in darkness and screaming a lot. Yeah. As you do.
When you're
out of nowhere, the other vice captain or captains and vice captains that have been unaccounted for that we assumed have died.
Right. So
are
it's
also there.
Yeah, it's Rangiku and Love is one of them, I think. And one of the other visors, I can never remember their names.
They were the two that tried to take on Mask the Mask and lost.
Oh, right. It's those guys.
Yeah. So it's Ganguru, Rangiku.
Yeah, and they have brown skin, too, for some reason. Because they're zombies, I guess.
So Kurozuchi, they're trying to stop Kurozuchi, and he brings in his visors. Arankar zombies.
Yeah.
Is there actually a difference, or is it just like a team affiliation kind of thing?
Yeah, there's a difference, because Arankar are hollows that get masks.
And Visards are Shinigami.
Visards are Shinigami that get masks.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, Kurozuchi summons them to take part in battle while he's doing things to Hitsugaya.
Yep.
Which, I mean, it's going to... They're making it seem like he's doing untoward things, but I'm guessing it's going to be, oh, this totally heals him.
Yeah, it'll be totally fine.
Then he wipes out everyone.
I still don't think... Because they're not going to kill off Hitsugaya still.
No.
But then we get something completely different.
Right, then we get the title of the chapter, which is Rub Dolls.
I wonder if it was supposed to be... Maybe it was written in English on Kubotide, written in English, because he does that a lot.
Yeah, he does.
But I wonder if it was supposed to be, like, Love Dolls or something.
Yeah, probably, but he's usually, like, at least... Well, no, he's pretty good at writing things in Spanish and German, but not so much English.
Yeah.
Because Rub Dolls makes no sense, but Love Dolls makes a certain degree of sense.
Yeah, it makes more sense anyway.
So we see three visors, including one of the hot Nazis, the one who lost her arm, I guess, dead.
Or Sternrider.
Yes. Like, they're as dead as you can be in this manga, I guess.
Right, including the incredible, weird-looking, racist caricature guy. So hopefully we don't have to see any more of him.
The guy with the piano teeth who we've never actually seen fight.
Right, he hasn't done anything.
And I guess the same is true for that other guy, too.
Oh, yeah, the guy with the glasses.
Yeah.
Did we even get his name?
I'm sure we did at some point.
It probably doesn't even matter.
Yeah. So anyway, the other hot Nazis are standing there.
Yeah, they think that, oh, it's so weird that this guy's alive, and wasn't he beaten down before? I guess he got stronger. So, not Ichigo.
Oh, God, what's his name?
It's not Ichigo.
No, it's not Ichigo. Yeah, it's the guy with the 69 on his cheek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
69 guy appears and saying, oh, I've already dealt with one of them, and looks around and see that Byakuya has beaten three. He's like, oh, I was so stupid for being proud of just one. And Byakuya knocks his weapon away. And 69 guy seems pretty confused, like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah. And Byakuya's like, well, that's my line. And then he is saying, why did you come at me with your blade? And he says, are you under control or are you an imposter?
Like, how could he tell that much but can't tell if it's the same guy or a fake guy?
I don't know.
Are you one of those two guys that Juha Bak uses to fool people?
Yeah.
I was awake during that part. I saw it.
But no, apparently it's not that. It's that there is this guy. Oh, yeah, the hot Nazis mentioned him too earlier. Pepe.
Yeah, he 69 guy says he was doing it for Pepe Sama.
And then we see him, and it is basically Black Santa Claus.
Yes. Who has a love power. I was ready to call it a love fruit, but...
Yeah. And he makes the same heart symbol
that
Boa did. So...
Apparently, he just makes people fall in love with him, and he hits one of the hot Nazis, who gains, like, a JoJo fist.
Yeah, because that was her power. She was the overpower or something, and she got super buff.
I was kind of hoping that would have been part of his power, that you love so much that you get a giant fist.
Nah, but unfortunately he just kind of messes with people.
So he does his little dance and saying, everyone can fight over me, but he can't be stuck with just one person. So I guess that's his fight is going to be Byakuya versus everybody else who's in love with him.
Yeah, it seems that way. And maybe Byakuya will team up with the other hot Nazi or something?
I don't know.
So this guy is, like, supposed to be a Stern Ritter?
Yeah.
Yes. He was shown before.
Yeah, and he says he's Stern Ritter member L for love.
I feel like we had a Stern Ritter L before. Maybe?
No? Yeah, that's why I was confused, because I remember there being one, and he's fighting, you know, the Stern Ritters, too.
Well, it says right on the page where there's a big sweet written in English. Excuse me, sweet. Right at the bottom there, it says he's Stern Ritter L.
Apparently he is the only Stern Ritter L.
Oh.
So.
But yeah, I guess
he's... I guess he just likes messing with people.
Love is indiscriminate.
Yeah.
So I guess we need to have him fight Kurotsuchi for the ultimate troll fest.
Yeah, it's perfect, because he's going to make Byakuya fall in love with him, and then Byakuya is just going to kill him, because Byakuya doesn't care about that.
This would be a good excuse to get the Byakuya-Rukia fight we never get, but then Rukia would lose, because he's... Or unless
Rukia always loses.
Yeah.
And because Byakuya is popular.
Remember how she saved, or he saved her in, like, a fight that she was totally already winning?
Yeah. Good times.
But yeah, that was Bleach. I don't know that we should bother coming up with theories, because apparently it just doesn't bother to go logically
anywhere.
It
doesn't even matter. I think that's what it's going to be, is that Byakuya is going to fall in love with him, but his whole thing in the Soul Society arc is that he loved Rukia, but it wasn't going to stop him from killing her. So...
I can see that. That would be clever writing, I think.
He's just so
stoic.
And
that's why it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, that's probably too consistent and good.
I think a funny thing would be like him getting someone that turns out to be crazy Yandere that kills him because she can't let him have anyone else.
Who would that be? Momo? Is she alive? I can't remember.
You know, that actually would have been a good twist for this, these... zombie characters would have been what's her name? Kenpachi's sword. Or his vice captain, rather.
Yoruichi?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Yoruichi.
Yeah, she just kind of
disappeared. Not Yoruichi.
Oh,
No, right.
Yeah, I seriously, God. I'm completely blanking on her name.
What is her name? The not little girl with the pink hair.
Yeah, I've got nothing.
Oh, God.
Mike is probably screaming at us in his car right now.
Oh, it's driving me crazy.
I'm pulling it up.
I have to look this up.
Yachiru.
That's it.
Yeah, so it would have been good, like, because she just fucking disappeared.
Yeah, we still don't know if, like, she's his sword or what, because she just, like, kind of disappeared completely.
Yeah, they called attention to her disappearing, but then did not, like, then Kenpachi himself just disappeared. Right, why is Kenpachi not one of the zombies?
I don't know, because he's not... Well, but it doesn't matter if he's dead or not. I guess he's just buried under rubble.
Yeah, like...
So she couldn't
find him. You think that would have been the first priority. Like,
maybe that's going to be like her trump card after these guys all get beaten up.
Or Kubo just forgot about him.
I mean, that would be awesome if that happened, so it's probably not going to happen.
I don't know that it would be that awesome after you've already used, like, four other people.
Yeah, that's true.
What would be awesome?
It should have been, like, right after Hitsugaya.
What would be awesome is if he turned into a zombie and he still, like, killed the Stern Ritters because he doesn't care.
Just indiscriminate zombieing.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, Ichigo's still on that rocket, I guess?
Yeah, he's still going up, even though it only took Bach, like, a second to get up there.
And he flew up there on his own power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we've reached the point in Bleach where people can just fly.
I mean, honestly, things that in Soul Society no longer matter. Like, Kabutita has effectively lowered the stakes completely. Because
I mean, they do matter, because for every one of these Stern Ritter they kill, Bach gets stronger.
But every one of the Shinigami they kill get, like... Effectively, it doesn't really matter for the story how this works out.
Also, because they're already dead, because they're ghosts.
Yeah.
Where are they going to go? They're going to become double ghosts?
HFIL.
I mean, nobody dies in Bleach. Let's be clear.
There was... Okay, yeah, I guess you're right, huh?
Can you honestly say, like, I guess Tosen died. And
yeah,
Gin.
That's true. Tosen and Gin died.
But they got quickly replaced.
Yeah, but I mean, now people are coming back as zombies left and right, so who knows?
I mean, there's a non-zero chance that Tosin will be like the Soul King's bodyguard or something.
Or Tosin will be Kurochi's
Or
trump card.
this is all an illusion by Aizen and they are both totally fine.
Why can't the
This is
Soul
all
King
an
just save
illusion by
people?
Aizen, and they're still he's still fighting Ichigo. I
Next
mean,
chapter, Karakura Town, part 7.
yeah,
You know what?
exactly.
I'd be totally okay with that as a troll. It's
Yeah,
like,
me
yeah, that
too.
last arc just didn't happen.
Yeah, the last two arcs, that was just a crazy dream that Aizen did to try and do something to Ichigo.
We're
Yeah,
still I
in the
mean,
desert.
the last one already felt like it was just did it even like do anything to the
I
overall
mean,
story?
no, not at all. Ichigo
Exactly.
got his powers back after he lost them, but that was the only thing.
He got a new sword and he found out Zangetsu was Juhabak.
I
Right,
thought
but
that
remember
happened in
he found out that he had Fullbringer power, but then that turned out
Oh.
to just
You're talking about
be.
another time Ichigo lost his powers and then got them all back.
Yeah.
Okay.
The
Talking about the
one
other
that was
time.
totally not Chapter Black from Yu Yu
Right. God, there was like, remember there was like that one part of that arc that was good, which was that guy that made them think that he was their friend? And it was like that really cool, almost psychological horror bit. And then it just didn't matter at all. All
Yeah. So why don't we move on to the Isekai,
right.
which is a nothing chapter.
I thought it was pretty funny.
It's decently cute, I guess. Decent reaction shots, but
Yeah.
it's Nisekoi.
I mean, that's what Nisekoi is all about, so.
So a teacher has resigned from Bunnyori High, the music teacher, and the principal has decided that Yui is going to take her place. Even though Yui has no musical talent whatsoever.
Like, I think that's a massive understatement. Like,
Yeah.
having no musical talent is just like, oh, you go up and you do karaoke and, you make an ass of yourself. But, like, this is on a whole
She's
nother
tone
level.
deaf.
Yeah. So I guess everybody who's in the same class together is also in the same music class.
Yeah, sure. Why not? It's convenient.
So they ask her to sing, and she decide like Raku's having sudden Pavlovian reaction to the possibility of her singing, but doesn't remember why.
Yeah. And then she sings, and it breaks the windows and destroys a violin, and everyone freaks out because it's awful.
And wakens the animals.
Yeah.
So she wants to know how it is, and everyone's like, "Oh, that's the worst thing I've ever heard."
And everybody's crying.
Somebody passed out and they're trying to get him medical attention.
Tachibana turned into a pillar of salt. I think that was probably a great sight gag.
Yeah, that's the
Yeah.
best sight gag of the issue, I think. So, as she's discussing that, oh, well, I guess I'll just never sing again, the principal comes in and says, by the way, you're going to lead the school assembly next week and you have to sing.
Yeah.
Because reasons. So, she has Tachibana to give her lessons, and Tachibana's like, no, I kind of hate you. So, I'm not going to ever do that. And Raku, like, she only agrees once it's implied Raku also has to join. So, they tell her to put a bucket on her head so she can hear her own tone deafness.
And try and, correct it.
And Tachibana, even with earplugs on, removes them with a dead stare and says, I can't do anything.
Yep, completely hopeless.
Yeah. And they try other lessons and diaphragm movements and various, like, singing from the top of her head. And each and every time, she fails, and
Tachibana
Tachibana
just
again.
says, "Well, I can't do anything. I'm going to
Yes.
go."
She wins the best sight gags for the issue.
Yeah.
So they ask Sagumi if she can sing. So she sings, and everyone gets a spring breeze.
Yes, it's beautiful.
And Tachibana is jealous. But Sagumi can't explain how to sing to Yui, so it's kind of useless.
Right, she's not a singing teacher.
So Yui tries practicing long enough that her voice goes out. And even though her voice is out, she tries singing again. And it turns out that when her voice is out, she sings just well enough that sounds decent.
She sings kind of okay.
Yeah. And she manages to do that at school assembly. And filled with confidence, she decides to use her real voice at the end.
And then everyone is kind of confused at what happened there. So.
Yep. Somebody else was to come in.
Yes.
And that's the chapter.
That's pretty much it. I don't know. It was a fun little sort of slice of lifey.
I don't think it was bad to read. I think it's hard to discuss.
Yeah, because like nothing much happens.
Yeah.
It's just one of those funny little Nisekoi chapters. I don't know. It was fine.
Yeah.
Like coming in and, you know, having like not consistently read Nisekoi, I thought it was okay. Like, you know, easy to jump into.
Yeah. These are the ones that are good to jump into because you don't really need to know the characters.
You don't really need to know much about Nisekoi to jump in, which is probably part of its success.
Yeah.
Like,
really.
Especially in a
magazine like this.
Yeah. It's a paper thin story. There's a lock, there's some keys, there's a harem.
Yeah.
You can deduce the rest from there.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it was a chapter.
Yep. Yep.
That sure was Nisekoi. Let's move on.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised there was only one Nisekoi this week.
Yeah, me too.
We have two assassination classrooms.
That's right.
So, again, another flyer saying, hey, there's an anime coming. Hooray.
Yep.
I'm not holding my hopes up, because I recall the studio not being great.
Oh, what studio is it again? I don't remember.
I want to say it's Bones, but I'm not sure.
Bones can do good work sometimes, but I don't know.
We're all looking this up at once. That's
yeah.
Yeah, one of us should probably be talking.
So
it's Brainspace.
Oh, yeah.
And
I don't know.
They were a subsidiary, or they broke off from someone else, didn't they?
Former Tokyo Movie Shinsha staff.
Oh wait, they're not the ones doing the series. They're doing the ones who did the OVA.
Oh.
The studio is Lerche.
Okay. Oh.
Who they did Persona 4 and Danganronpa.
Oh, well, that should be all right then.
Yeah.
They're pretty good.
Okay.
I like their shows.
So, when we left it last, Irina was still depressed. Or she was depressed because Karasuma did not give her anything for her birthday. And she hasn't heard from Lorvo in a long time either, so she's pretty lonely. So the students decide to come up with a hookup plan for her and Karasuma.
That's right.
So the girls drag her to give them like advice about working overseas and other such things. So they drag her out of there while Karasuma is kind of confused what that's all about. Meanwhile, the boys and a couple of the girls
go talk to the most suspicious flower vendor that there has ever been.
So my initial thought was, hey, this is just like Persona 4.
Yeah, it kind of is. He's wearing the same sort of hat.
This is the fucking gas station attendant all over.
And did they actually have that segment in the other chapter where he's the one that called the ambulance, or are they just making that up?
I know there was a flower guy, yeah.
Yeah, it was him. Well, they didn't really show his face, but it was like the same hat and stuff.
Yeah, there was somebody who called the ambulance. So the flower guy sees them talking about getting a present. And they're talking incredibly loudly about this. So he explains to them that, like, you know, if you really want to give a present, you should give a flower. And he kind of shamelessly hits on Kanzaki, who's like 12.
Yeah. But anyway, he sells them on a big fancy flower bouquet and then charges them a bunch of money for it because he is a businessman.
But like it was still a good deal.
Yeah.
Considering the types of flowers. So they get a bouquet, and they do not search it for any reason.
No, why would they?
And Nagisa makes a point to say how at ease he is with the flower guy.
He's so gentle.
I really like this. I got a good feeling about him. I'm sure he's fine.
Nagisa would totally know about completely unassuming people.
So the other group is talking to Irina and asking her questions like, what pickup lines work on French guys? Can you play the piano? Can you pose for us sexily? And she's wrapped with attention, basically. And Kurosete points out that, yeah, she's actually starting to gel well with the students and, like, become comfortable with them. and he's wondering if he should join in on their plan as well. So the team that got the flowers is trying to convince Karasuma to give them to her.
Yeah, but he's still resisting it, but...
He's like, I don't understand why I should do this. It's kind of pointless. And Karma makes the point, like, well, keep her happy, because, you know, you're managing this assassination, so... And Karasuma gets the point. So they all run back into the school building, and Ermina's lonely again until Karasuma gives her the flowers. Then he says, for some reason, this is because either we're never going to see each other again or the world's going to end.
Yeah.
So it's important to celebrate this one moment.
Right. And so basically it turns out that he's not oblivious. He's just kind of taking the whole world-ending thing more seriously, which, right. You know, kind of a good point, really.
Yeah. And she gets mad at the students because she believes this to be a prank on her.
Derringer at them.
Yeah. And Kuro-sensei tries to explain, but she doesn't believe him. So she gets mad and she gives the bouquet back to Karasuma and walks off.
Yep.
Saying that they've opened her eyes and all that stuff.
Yeah. And Karasuma says that, like, oh, well, I wouldn't say that stupidly. It was, she's an assassin. She can't be broken down with something that simple.
Right, she should be tough enough to be able to handle that.
Yeah, emotions don't belong in, like, a world-saving thing.
And then she walks off and we have an incredibly ominous shot of this flower seller.
Oh, well, he's thinking that the camera was in the bouquet, but he got enough information before she dumped it.
I'm sure he's just going to go return her wallet to her.
Yes. That's why he needed the camera, to know where the wallet was.
Yeah, totally.
So he's watching her walk away while he's kind of like sitting in an alley.
He says, that was, do not fear. You will no longer return to school. And then next chapter, Irene is missing. Who could have seen this coming?
They haven't seen her in 3 days. And Karasuma doesn't know where she is, so he's just interviewing for another hitman. So she's like, well, you guys need to take it seriously because compassion is useless here.
Yeah. And he is interviewing a terrible hitman.
A big guy with a wife beater and picking his nose with a gun in his hand.
And apparently all of the hitmen that he can find are terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the good hitmen have gone missing lately.
And his, like, former hitman address book, I guess, Lovro, has not contacted him recently. Then, speak of the devil, Lovro is calling. I like his name is Lovro Brovsky.
Yeah, that's a pretty good name.
So he's trying to figure out where Lovro's been, and Lovro's like, is this line safe? If I tell you this time, then I'm certainly going to be killed.
And it turns out he was only mostly dead.
Yeah, he was in a month-long coma. Because the god of death has been killing hitmen. In an effort to, like, eliminate the competition and then go after his own thing.
And I really like that the translators decided to just go with God of Death instead of Shinigami like they did before, because he's really doing the Reaper skeleton thing, so it makes sense.
I mean, God of Death is a pretty decent translation of Shinigami.
Yeah.
It's just usually you don't see scanlators being obstinate about doing that.
I know, that's one thing that assassination classrooms translators do, is they tend to get jokes better.
Yeah, they're really good at translating stuff like that, because they've kind of had to be that way, or else the manga wouldn't make any sense most of the time.
Yeah. So he points out that the God of Death is a master disguise, and he's an elite, so he's just going to kill everybody before he gets to the thing he wants to do.
He's a master of disguise, and intel gathering, and killing.
Yep.
So he can do everything, basically.
And I like these two panels here of showing, like, a snake coming out of a skull's eye socket and, like, hanging above Kurosente's head without him being completely oblivious.
That's pretty good.
So you see somebody, like, standing in the branches above the school, and Lovro points out that he'd kill anyone, even a woman or a middle school student.
Foreshadowing.
So Kurosente is going to go see the World Cup. Which kind of dates this issue a little
bit. Which is a reminder that we are still, like, way, way behind.
Like a good 8 issues behind.
Yeah. So this was current when the chapter came out.
Yeah. So he doesn't want to. He's not a football fan. He's like an American football fan.
He's a fair weather fan. Yeah. Basically.
He cares once a year.
Otherwise, it's just baseball.
4 years. Yeah. So they're trying to call Irina and worried like that she just completely left. And the flower guy points out, no, she didn't leave. She has things to do here.
And everyone was like, wait, when did you get in here?
No, first they talk to him for a while. Then they say, wait a second. What the hell are you doing in here?
Yeah.
And Nagisa just points out that he just kind of naturally blended in.
And then he just happily says, by the way, I'm the hitman known as the God of Death. And he's going to give them all a lesson.
Yeah. Everyone looks very worried. And then...
he emails Ritsu an image.
Right, Ritsu.
And tells her to go ahead and show it. And it's a picture of Irina, like, fireflied up in a box.
Stuffed in a steel box.
Yeah. And he draws a picture of a woman on the chalkboard and says, if you need to protect her, you need to come to the location I'm telling you to do. If you don't come, then I'm just going to dice her up into pieces and send them to you.
Yeah, I'll divide her equally amongst all of you.
And then he will go after one of them.
Meanwhile, Nagisa's like, this guy's saying the scariest thing I've ever heard, and he's clearly the worst hitman ever, but why do I feel as such calm?
I still can't be on edge, because he's just so at ease.
And even Karma's sweating it.
Mm-hmm.
So Tsukasa points out that we have no obligation to save her, and if you try to kill us, then Kurosete and Karasuma will come after you.
Yeah.
And we could just beat you up right here. So he points out that, hey, I clearly heard your conversation, and also you paid me 50,000 yen for a present, so you probably do care about her.
You care about her more than you say. And then he disappears in a smoke bomb of flowers, basically, which is a cool effect.
Just out the window.
Yeah.
And leaves a map of where he wants them to meet. So basically, shit's getting real.
Yeah. Shit got real.
Yeah.
And they're under orders to not tell Kuro-sensei or Karasuma about this. Which, of course, means that Kuro-sensei and Karasuma will find out some other way.
Yeah, they'll show up at the end after they've already beaten him somehow. And I'm guessing it'll be Nagisa again.
Or just enough to save Irina. Because I don't think they're disposing of him this quickly.
And Karasuma is going to finally discover his love for her.
I think Karasuma will be the one to save the day somehow.
Yeah, that could be it. But I don't know. I think it's going to be Nagisa again because of the whole hitman or killer aura thing.
I mean, it's clearly sociopathy, but like, oh, I feel the same thing as these heartless killers that will kill children.
Yeah.
I'm the protagonist. It's fine.
It's fine. I mean, he's just naturally talented at being an assassin. There's nothing wrong with that.
I feel like there is a lot. Like, at some point, everyone's going to find out about this big Kurosete thing and be like, I didn't approve of you doing this to my son. He's horrible now. He kills pets.
You taught them to use knives and guns. What's wrong with you?
Well, I mean,
they're teenagers.
Let's be fair. Karma was doing all that stuff beforehand, probably.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Karma's the only one who came out of this for the better.
Yeah.
Maybe Terasaka.
Yeah, I guess. But Nagisa, clearly he's going to become the next Lovro.
Basically, yeah.
Or he's going to become the next God of Death.
Yeah, that might be the thing. I still think that either he's going to like become an apprentice of him, or Shiro is going to capture him. Because
there was that thing where Shiro was like, yeah, I'm into this kid.
Yeah, I thought there was a thing like that after his last appearance, but...
Maybe that's the next stage of Assassination Classroom, where everyone's fighting over Nagisa to be their next apprentice.
Yeah.
I can't deny, though, I'm almost a little disappointed that they're going with Irina just being in a box right now.
Yeah, that's kind of disappointing. But
she's going to prove herself somehow.
But it's like the most...
have something to do.
Like... it's the most predictable route they could have taken. Like it would I feel like it would have been even more interesting if Karasuma was the one that was kidnapped and Irina had to save him, and you know, that would, I don't know, that would just be at least less predictable.
Especially the classroom has always been pretty good about like identifying and playing off tropes, but not a whole really great about avoiding them necessarily.
Yeah, that's true. So
right, like
she's never been a great. She's never been much of a character, really.
Yeah, and it's kind of there's another weird thing about it where, like, they keep all the students exclusively call her bitch sensei.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is kind of a weird thing to see in English because it comes off way more harsh than I feel like they're intending it to.
Like, isn't her name like Arena something Vitch or something, and that's the pun?
Yeah, it's a pun. So they only see it as a pun, but to us it reads like they're calling her a bitch all the time. So
like they're being like incredibly mean to this woman who's like maybe kind of stuck up and hoity-toity, but ultimately not the worst person in the world.
So I feel like it comes off as them hating her more to us reading it in English than it is actually intended to. Yeah. Like, in these last couple chapters, they're showing that they really do like her, and she's part of the team now and everything, so...
Right. Like, if this were in English, then the God of Death would be like, no, I can't use this play, and these children clearly hate this woman.
Yeah.
They'd never go there.
Yeah, they don't care about her at all. So...
But yeah, I'm really eager to see the next issue now.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Like, even if I'm disappointed with the route that they've taken, I still think it was a really good series of chapters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so speaking of incredibly great manga.
Ah, boy.
Let's do One Piece.
Oh, One Piece? Right.
Yes.
Oh,
what did you think was next?
I thought Naruto was next, and I was all getting ready to... Well, never mind. Anyway, yeah, One Piece was amazing this week. Let's talk about One Piece.
So we start with Diamante and Kiro still staring off in the field. And
well, first there's the cover arc, which is that a ship is going down, too.
Oh.
So something is causing trouble on the ocean. Imagine that.
And Jinbei is there.
Please don't be, what's his name? The slimy pirate guy that had that, like, super long arc.
Oh, Caribou.
Caribou, yeah. Just keep him out. Keep him out forever.
He's in One Piece Unlimited World Red as, like,
what?
A random grunt.
Oh. Like, not as a playable character.
No, you just... He's in a barrel, and you beat him up a bunch.
Although, considering how many people One Piece Musou uses, I'd bet he's in the next game, too.
Probably, yeah.
All right, so Diamante is saying he's not going to let Luffy and Law get past him to Doflamingo.
Which, yeah, that's kind of his job, to not let them get past.
And Luffy kneels forward to Rebecca and's like, I'm glad you met your dad. And she's asking, are you guys really going to meet... Doflamingo, Lucy? It's like, no, I'm Luffy. I'm the man who became King of the Pirates. So Diamante tries to attack, and Law straight up uses a broom to get past him.
Yeah, he can teleport. That's the thing he can do.
So while doing that room, he also performs surgery on himself.
Yeah, and takes the bullets out.
So I guess that explains what was up with Doflamingo shooting him?
I guess. I don't know why that matters at all. I don't think it's been explained yet.
I guess Oda wanted to, you know, bring that up again.
Right, because he says that he used lead bullets, which I don't know what other kind of bullets he would use, but... Like, I guess Sea Stone would have really messed him up, but I don't know if they make bullets out of that.
I guess, I don't know, it seems like maybe Oda knew that he got shot at one point and needed to explain that he's fine now.
Oh yeah, maybe. Like, he remembered that.
Yeah. So as Law and Luffy are, like, up at the castle, Sugar is watching from a distance, saying that she's going to make slaves of them, and everyone's going to forget their complete existence.
Right. And she starts sort of ominously walking towards them, and they just see her as, like, a little girl.
So. Yeah. I don't think Luffy or Law... Well, Law probably knows about Sugar.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Law should know about her, shouldn't he?
I guess he figures since people aren't toys anymore... But then again, he did see the other toys.
Yeah, but, well, maybe, I was thinking that maybe she joined after Law left. That would make sense.
No, because part of the plan was to, or was that the dwarf plan?
The dwarf plan?
Or to knock out Sugar?
Yeah.
I can't remember if that was Law's plan or their plan.
No, that wasn't Law's plan.
Okay.
Law wasn't involved in that thing at all.
There's so many plans in this arc, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, people have been moving around so much. But yeah, because remember, the dwarfs had the key to the handcuffs, and so...
Yeah.
They were trying to get to him and all that sort of stuff, so...
On Old King's Plateau, Usopp is freaking out, because he knows that Luffy is marching right towards Sugar, and he remembers what it was like to forget Robin. and he doesn't ever want to forget Luffy. He doesn't want to forget his friends, period.
Yeah, which is, it's pretty freaky power, so
yeah. And so Kanjuro is moved by his speech, but he doesn't know what Usopp's going to do about it. So Usopp explains, there's one thing you can do for me, and the only thing as a sniper I can do is support.
Right. And meanwhile, the people have almost finished climbing up the shitty ladders that Kanjuro drew for them.
Yeah. And they're there to take everyone hostage. Yeah.
Take them and turn them in for the reward.
So King Riku needs to play defense. And while Viola helps Usopp figure out where to actually shoot. So Usopp's aiming and he notices that Sugar is approaching. Or Viola notices that Sugar is approaching Luffy and Law. So Usopp takes aim.
He's kind of aiming, and he realizes he can see their auras, so he's starting to get hockey.
Yeah, he's getting sort of like sniper aiming hockey.
Yeah, observation hockey, I think they called it.
It's and helps him,
same sort of thing that Enel had, where he could tell where people were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's able to see through walls, basically.
Yeah.
And then he fires a special kind of seed bullet that goes all the way through as he finally gets captured by the roving band coming up.
Right, they come and grab him, and it goes, and it uses like two extra gunpowder charges in midair to make this shot through a window on this castle all the way over there.
And it goes up to Sugar, who's currently right at Luffy and Law.
Right, offering them grapes, apparently.
Yeah.
Just about to touch them. And then the bullet comes in, and
it explodes into an Usopp face. Yeah, that Kanjuro drew.
Yes.
And it's the most amazing panel.
It is. And so she freaks out and passes out again.
It is a bullet designed to remind somebody of their trauma.
Yes. So it's a shitty drawing of Usopp's freaking out face. With his
Luffy
eyes
and Law,
his tongue.
Luffy and Law don't know what this is, or that it was like Usopp, so they're like, whatever. And
he's just like, what was that all about?
And everyone's congratulating Usopp for taking down Sugar and winning the fight, and then Luffy and Law just hop, skip, and jump right to Doflamingo.
Yep, right there.
And other guy, whose name I don't remember.
Treble.
Treble.
Yeah, the gross guy.
So Doflamingo asks, what did you come here for? And Luffy answers to kick your ass, and Law says, same here.
And Doflamingo is disappointed.
Yep. Maybe now we'll finally get the Doflamingo Law backstory. Actually, that would be great if they both started telling the shared backstory and Luffy just punches him.
Yeah, that would be great. Or if what I think is going to happen is that Law is going to end up fighting Treble. Because he has like those weird Logia goop powers, so he can like get back together if he gets cut apart.
But Luffy can use Taki, so he could be able to hit Treble.
Yeah, that's true.
But there's no way it's not going to... I don't know. Doflamingo and Law have backstory, so I could totally see the fight between them.
I mean, yeah, they also might switch partners at some point. Because Luffy has to fight Doflamingo.
Yeah, he's the main character.
This is One Piece, and that's what always happens.
Yeah. What a cool chapter. My problem is, and this is a limitation of the fact that like the sniper archetype is very hard to write, is that this is a very common sniper fuck yeah moment. Like, this is Hawkeye 10 times over.
Well, yeah, that's true, but I feel like it's kind of saved by the bullet being just his face again.
Yeah, but his face is not necessarily like the fuck yeah part. It's the that he made the shot kind of thing.
I don't know. I thought the face was the fuck yeah part, because it was...
I mean, the face was the great joke.
Yeah. And the fact that it's a shitty version that Kanjuro drew.
Yeah. And yet still his best drawing.
Yes.
But, I don't know. I was looking at that and I was like, yeah, I remember this from Earth's Mightiest Heroes. This is totally a thing that happened in there. But... Again, it's not, you can't do anything else with snipers.
They can shoot something that's really far away and hard to hit.
Yeah, the impossible shot is the Golgo 13 thing.
Yeah. He pulled a Golgo 13.
Yeah.
But I guess if anybody could maybe eventually find somebody interesting to do with it, it would be Oda.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he found lots of cool stuff for Usopp to do back in when he fought Luffy. That's still probably his best fight, really.
I mean, the quintessential Usopp movie to me is like burning the flag Ahsoka King.
Yeah, that was pretty great. And just saving Robin as Ahsoka King.
Alright.
Alright.
From One Piece to the end of Naruto?
I mean, maybe.
I think either it's over or we're getting a part three because Jump is going to give Kishimoto all the money.
I don't, like, this is so simultaneously definitive. It's so definitive that it can't be definitive.
Yeah, I mean, there has to be, like, some catch. But anyway, we should go through the chapter, which is basically they seal Kaguya.
Yeah.
They do the special high five, and seal her away in the moon again.
And Hagoromo sees this, like, he sees the seals back on his hand, so he knows they did it.
Right.
And so he knows to bring them all back.
Well, I think right.
Then all the tailed beasts jump out, and they're all themselves again. And the, I'm not sure which number of tails this is, the rabbit. Is that like 4 or 5 or something?
I don't remember.
Anyway, it spits out Madara's top half, which is kind of hilarious.
Yeah, that can't be bad at all.
And then Naruto goes to find Black Zetsu, and I really love what happens here, because usually in Naruto you get
the like Takeno Jutsu.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, I'm going to make you good. Naruto's just this time like, nope, and punches him into the moon.
Right, because he knows
he punches him up and then creates a thing around him.
Well, then he punches him up into the stream of like all the rock forming the new moon. Yeah, but yeah, he says like it's basically he caused all of these things that caused all the other villains to be villains and do bad things. So
I just realized he ripped off Kaguya's arm to do that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Huh. But yeah, so I noticed that like a lot of critical Naruto moments involve that giant sphere. Like, even in the Pain fight, remember Pain made, like, a giant sphere and then trapped Naruto inside of it?
Oh, yeah, that's right, because one of them can control gravity or something.
Yeah. So this is kind of the same imagery. So then Naruto shows up, like, now everyone can live happily ever after.
He's like,
then
wait, we're still stuck in a dimension that's blowing up.
Nobody thought about this, huh?
Nope.
And then you get Sakura's, like, shock face again.
Let's go to the acid planet. I'm sure the solution's there.
But then it turns out that Hagoromo has brought back all of the Kages from Ninja Heaven.
Like, every single one.
All of the Kages.
And they all came to have the chakra to summon Naruto and the Tailed Beast back.
And Madara, for good measure.
And they connected him back to his body.
Yes.
The look on a...
on the first face, he's like...
Yeah, he's like, huh.
Was that a good idea?
I understand Naruto and the Tailed Beast. I kind of understand Sakura. Why did you guys bring back Madara?
Well, I mean, they can't just, like, leave him unaccounted for.
They totally could.
They could have. There was in a dimension that was going to destroy itself. There's literally no safer way to kill someone.
They left Kaguya back there.
I mean, yeah. I don't know. But yeah, that was just hilarious to me. And he even says that we have a name for Ninja Heaven now. It's the Pure Land.
The least fucking secure place in the world?
Yes, apparently you can just bring people back willy-nilly. I mean, they don't get their bodies back, which is something, I guess, but ghosts...
No, hold on. You can't even just, like, it's not just you just bring them back. They just leave on their own reconnaissance.
Yeah, that's true. If you were powerful enough in life and you had crazy eyes, you can just come back.
And you can give people extra eyes.
Yes.
Well, I guess he has... Yeah, I guess that explains Obito coming back. Yeah. It's just another dimension.
You just walk out.
Just come back. I mean, it doesn't matter how many times he dies. He can just come back.
Like, honey, I'm sorry. I'm going to go get the milk. And also, Hagoromo wants me to save some kids. It's fine. I'll be back in like 10 minutes.
Yeah. Ugh. God. Anyway, yeah, so that's the end of the chapter. Hagoromo says...
Yeah, Hagoromo explains
that,
like, you know...
the world.
So, he has a grin on his face that pretty clearly means, by the way, I'm the ultimate evil.
But he's a ghost.
So is Kaguya, I guess?
Yeah, but she got a body back.
I mean,
I don't know.
So, he supplied Naruto and Sasuke with the way to defeat his mother. Only thing that stood in his way.
Well, I mean, he didn't do anything evil when he was... Well, I guess...
We don't know that. Like, that's nothing true. About the old history actually makes sense or is actually true.
I mean, yeah, because we still don't know what Kaguya's motivation was.
Yes. I'm sure we're going to get a lengthy explanation once Hagorama turns heel.
Oh, God. I hope we do, because just to make sense of that, because it still doesn't make any sense at all.
So here's my guess. Hagorama turns heel, Madara gets up and says, I'm going to take this guy out for screwing with me.
Oh, God. Madara's going to turn good at the end?
Not turn good, just turn revenge.
I feel like for that to happen, Kaguya would have to still be alive for her to come back and be like, okay, I'm on your side now to help them, because that seems to be the pattern, is every time a new evil comes out.
No, because we had Obito, Madara, then Kaguya, then Madara was removed and Obito helped against Kaguya, so it skips one.
Yeah.
So Madara, Kaguya, yeah, that totally Hagoromo is Madara's going to help.
Well, what I hope happens is that in the next chapter, everyone's just celebrating, and then there's like one panel of Orochimaru just sneaking off with Madara's body over his shoulder like a sack of potatoes.
I need this. Don't ask why.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
So I fucking love just the page of the Kages, and then they're never seen again.
Yeah, he doesn't even draw like their full bodies or anything. It's just all their ghosts. Faces.
They're ghosts, so they can be like simple lines too.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, I couldn't give you guys bodies. It's fine.
Yeah, some of these I recognize. They fought some of these in the war arc.
Yeah, there's Gaara's father there.
Right, and there's that guy with the little mustache that was so funny.
Yeah, and the rap guy who Kabuto took over for a while.
Right. So, yeah.
I got Hagorama brought that back, but not Neji.
Well, you know. He had the wrong sort of eyes.
So how soon until Hagorama goes heel?
I don't think it's going to happen. Because there are only 10 chapters left before 700, and that's a nice round number to end on.
I think it's either over at least for, you know, part two, or and they start up a part three, or just over.
Realistically, I think we're just going to get a little bit of epilogue, and then Naruto and Sasuke are going to fight over killing the tailed beasts or not.
Here's the thing, if this is the way Naruto ends, it is an extremely weak ending.
Well, yeah, because Kaguya was just a nothing character.
Yeah, and she, like, it wasn't even a fight so much about ninjutsu or Naruto's planning or strategy. It was sort of, what if we can hit her down long enough to high-five between her?
Right, like, the only thing that happened at the end is, like, they kind of made her run out of chakra a little bit, and then they just went to punch her with three people instead of two people.
Yeah. It's, so, I don't know. It's, yeah. It is this, it carries none of the pacing from the Madara fight, which was actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
It that's what makes, I think Kishimoto's a better creator than this.
Yeah, he really is. I think he's just gotten tired.
Maybe. I think, the end of the manga is something you know you have to do for years and years. So for him to end it like this means he's either, like, punting it or...
Well, the end of the manga is Naruto and Sasuke having a final duel in front of the statues again.
Because parallels.
Well, yeah, which is going to happen still.
I don't know. I'm throwing my chips in on, if not Hagoromo, then somebody.
Orochimaru's coming back. I'm down with that. I am a known supporter of Orochimaru as a villain, though, so...
Or it turns out all these jutsus keep everyone in this circle forever.
Or it turns out that they're all in the infinite Tsukuyomi right now.
Or that Kaguya's death warps jutsus somehow.
Or it brings on the rest of the space demons that are coming! And, well, no, that's part three, I guess.
And then Naruto gets turned back into a child.
That's right.
Do you guys think that they, like, if Kishimoto is actually trying to just end it on his own terms, that they'll totally GT that would just bring somebody else in? And he's like, yeah, here's some designs.
Oh, I mean, they're totally doing the epilogue movies. So.
Yeah, they're doing the epilogue movies, and the spinoffs are pretty successful. So, yeah, they're totally going to do a continuation, I bet.
Because there's a Sasuke Chibi spinoff and a Rock Lee popular spinoff, and I'm sure they could add another one, like Kiba's Fun Time Hunting Grounds.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, there are tons of characters that hardly got anything to do, so they could just make up whatever characters for them they want, you know,
Yeah.
whatever personalities for them, that is.
I'm throwing my stake in. I don't think Naruto ends here. I
Well, I
think
think
there's
it ends
another
within
villain.
chapters, but yeah.
I don't know.
Zombie Jiraiya.
It is super strange. They never use Jiraiya for anything.
Zombie Jiraiya comes back from another continent with an army of evil ninja.
Nah, he'll just pop up. He's like, "Hey, I grabbed my magazine stash. I'm going back to the pool."
That actually would have been a cool Itō Tensei thing for like Jiraiya to just break out of it.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, release, whatever. I don't think you guys knew who I am. But yeah, Hagoromo's smile at the end is, I think, villainous smile.
Eh,
Plus, when do
sometimes.
manga end on round numbers?
I mean, they don't,
They
but
end at like
sometimes.
754 and not like 700.
Well, we still have another 9 chapters before 700.
Yeah, but you know, I thought I heard that like he was only on contract till the end of the year or something, so that would match up pretty well.
Plus,
We'll
you know,
see.
with the movie, I mean, it's probably over.
I
Movie is literally called Last, what is it, Last Ninja or something?
am super in denial because this is such a weak ending.
Well, this isn't the ending. I mean, something
I mean,
else is going to happen,
I
but.
it's such a weak ending for the ultimate final fight kind of thing.
Well, the ultimate final fight has been weak since the very beginning, so I don't know what you're
Yeah.
so upset about it now for.
I also feel like if we do have like up to about 10 chapters to go, that maybe he'll pull something up to justify all of this. Or like maybe there will be like one final thing and like Naruto has to just do all of his fighting without the nine-tailed chakra and like all the other stuff because it's just, you know, his raw talent or something. I don't know. I think it's weak as an ending now, but it could become a non-weak ending.
Yeah, it could be saved. That's true. But in
We'll
any
see.
case, Kaguya is a terrible character forever, I think.
She was a very bad final boss.
Yeah.
All
So,
right.
yeah.
Any yeah, I'm still disappointed. Okay, let's go on to Soma.
Yeah,
Which had
Soma,
some
did it have center color, or was it actually top ranked?
I don't see it. I don't think it was center color.
Well, I mean, I think we're like a week behind or something, so.
Yeah. No, it doesn't say center color for it.
Oh, wow.
Brainbreaker was center color.
Huh. I guess it was top ranked then. That's pretty impressive.
So, it starts with everyone congratulate or yelling at Soma about his cooking in his family restaurant.
Right, he's so great. And then it turns out that it's Subaru, basically cosplaying in his mind's eye, trying to get into the mindset of Soma.
Yeah.
I really love that panel.
Yeah,
Is he even
pretty
dressed
cool.
as Soma?
And giving the same facial expressions.
So Soma's still talking to Audience Cipher, the reporter kid, in the like school kitchen. Like he's still not sure what to do about the stew.
Right, he tries putting different things in and messing with different things, different spices, but nothing's really working because everything kind of messes with something else and it would defeat the purpose of the miso, or
Yeah.
it would, you know, mess something up, so we can't figure it out.
With everyone else he's fought, it's been like he just did what they did, or he just did better than them. He knew how to
Right.
counter their abilities. But against Subaru, he's just kind of going against himself. He doesn't know how to fight himself.
Right. And then it turns out that the reporter kid has been eating all of every single stew that he cooked, so he's super stuffed now.
Yeah, and he doesn't have any leftovers left.
Right. And he doesn't have a very sophisticated palate, and also he's a huge fanboy, so he's not a very good judge.
So he needs to go to somebody with a good palate.
Yes. Who could that be?
I've totally forgotten her name.
It's Irina, isn't it?
Okay,
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Arena, but not instead of Irina.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not Irina, it's Arena.
So Irina is at her house reading shoujo manga.
Yes, she's gotten super into shoujo manga.
And the volume, as volumes tend to do, ends on a cliffhanger.
Yes.
So, but she has no idea how, like, she doesn't have the next chapter, and her girl attendant,
her assistant, yeah,
is leaving on a journey. So she has no, she can't get, like, more manga because she doesn't know where manga comes from.
Right, because she's an incredibly sheltered rich girl, so she doesn't know how to get things.
And so she hears a doorbell ringing and realizes it must be Hisako.
Yes, she's back. But then it turns out it's Soma and the reporter kid.
And Soma's like, can you test this for me?
And she's like, how did you get in here?
And apparently Alice and Ryo just go ahead and let Soma in.
Yeah.
Just go to the front door.
Which is great. I love that Alice and Soma are just friends now.
Yeah. They're buddies.
And yep. Alice continues to be the best troll.
Yes.
So the reporter's like, I can't believe you know Arena. This is so crazy. I heard you guys even got into a car together and talked. And she's kind of pissed at by the association.
Yes.
And there was, like, people paid enormous amounts of money to get her to taste things, so why would she do this for Soma for free?
Yeah.
And she's really busy and can't do anything about it. And suddenly the reporter notices that she's holding a shoujo manga.
Yeah.
And Yukara's like, oh, that girl at the Polar Star Domes has all of that.
Someone at the Polar Star Dome has all of the volumes. We don't know who yet.
Yeah, so she agrees to help. And they'll negotiate payment out later.
Yeah, they'll figure something out.
So Soma gets her to try the beef stew and starts explaining all the ingredients in there.
But she's like, yeah, I know. I can tell.
I'm better than you at this. So she says that this is what you're actually going to use for the festival? You don't understand anything about this theme. And the director notices that the two of them are in the kitchen, and they explain, oh, well, he's going to be the head judge again for the final, but they're bringing in a new set of judges, and this we round. Find out, yeah, the next
and
one is...
we get our fan service for this chapter.
Of Dojima coming out of the bath.
Yeah.
Who's also somewhat of a Soma fanboy, so...
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Though he did vote against him in that last Shogiyaki.
Oh man, that was forever ago.
Yeah, that was when they were doing against the French teacher.
Right.
Or French restaurant
French
guy.
French guy, yeah. So yeah, it's Dojima is his name.
Yep. And he's so I'm guessing he's going to be able to tell like the sophisticated difference between Somas and Subarus, but no one else can.
Yeah. Should be interesting. They have a different judge there.
Yeah. So I think it's good that they made Alice into more of a character and put her into a non-villainous role for once.
Yeah, they're actually bringing back like the female lead of this comic. Who, well, she was introduced as that, but she hasn't been in it for like, geez, a really long time in any significant capacity. So.
You see, that's sort of the problem of this manga is that the manga's about climbing a ladder, but she's already at the top of it.
Right, and Soma is too, which is why Megumi is the secret protagonist.
Well, she's already at the top, like, officially.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like Soma happens to be the best, but no one recognizes it yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is not much of a, like, Soma makes food, then has Arena taste it.
Well, yeah, but it's setting things up, and it's kind of bringing her back in what I thought was a pretty funny way.
Yeah, I'm guessing she's going to find herself, like, rooting for Soma in the Shogiyaki.
Or she'll just be there in the stadium reading shoujo manga in the stands.
It's not like I want to read you anyway.
Yeah. You got to be Tsundere for the books, or they'll never appreciate you.
Yeah.
but yeah, overall, decent chapter. I kind of don't know what I want from Sokiyaki no Soma anymore.
I don't know. I feel like these setup chapters are kind of a little bit frustrating, but it also is just sort of bringing up the tension and showing that this is going to be a really important match. And so I really want to just see what happens now.
I think the last three chapters have been pretty sort of boring, and I think it would have been a better setup if this were anyone but Soma.
Yeah,
because obviously he's not going to lose and quit cooking forever.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's obvious that he's going to win, but it's how he's going to win.
That would have been more exciting to go straight to that Shokuyeki to show him, like, so then we don't know if he's really prepared or not. Now we know he's getting, like, super preparation.
Yeah, that's true, but I think these two chapters were more to introduce these characters.
Yeah.
Bringing Arena back and introducing the reporter kid and stuff.
I feel like they could have... They probably could have done that in a better way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Also, nobody likes reporter kid.
I think it's... Soma's starting to run into the same problem that Addicted to Curry has, actually. That's still going, isn't it?
Addicted to Curry? Never heard of it.
It's basically like a more slice of life version of Soma. In fact, it even does the same like cheesecake stuff.
Oh.
The only two differences is that it's a little more slice of life and they give you the recipes for everything they cook. But otherwise, it's about some apprentice chef who's like a genius cook trying to find his dad and stuff and become the best cook. And he gets into cooking challenges with people. And, it's a lot of the same story beats and it runs into the same problems where it's like, you know, very high stakes cooking challenges that he's not going to lose.
Yeah, that's the thing with these is it's always more exciting when it's like the side characters getting involved in these things because there's actual tension there.
Yeah.
Whether they're going to win or not. But
like with Subaru and Yamcha.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Who now has been established as Yamcha.
Like I could see Soma versus Ryo and Soma losing that.
Yeah. That could happen.
But he's not going to lose the semifinals where the stakes are. He leaves forever. And even if he did, like, there was that one... Again, we bring up that Shogeki against the former student that has his own fresh restaurant. The deal was they leave the school. But they lost, and they still didn't, like... They're like, okay, whatever. We don't need to deal with those consequences.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of a problem, but I feel like once we get into the actual cooking contest, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Because that's always just interesting to see, and... delicious and stuff, so I don't know. Hopefully we'll get into that next week. I feel like everything's finally been fully set up, so
yeah. They need to show no more of this, because if we find out how Soma plans to win, then that removes a lot of the suspense from it.
Well, yeah, so we're just gonna jump right into it.
Yeah. Alright.
That'll be good.
Let's call it. This has been your Friday, August 29th Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And we'll see you all next week.
Goodbye. My wife and I were at my in-laws, like years ago, like way before we were married, but like they had just gotten like a new digital cable thing and it had the Funimation stuff on, like demand. And so we're looking through and my wife sees High School of the Dead and she's like, oh, cool, a zombie anime. Let's watch that. And we put it on and it's one of the summer episodes. And so it starts out and like, all the girls are like panting and sweating and like trying to deal with the heat. And my now father-in-law walks in and he's like, what are you guys watching? And we're just having to sit there trying to explain to him that no, we're actually not watching pornography. And then he just says, okay. And like quietly like creeps out.